إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا، فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين، ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون، ولا نبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, I want to share with you just some things about a very heavy concept in our deen, something that is talked about a lot in the Qur'an, and unfortunately, at least in my own observation, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, in my own observation, the average Muslim is very confused about this particular issue that has to do with our faith, because it comes up in conversation. And it's something that actually a lot of people get hurt by, because they don't understand it properly. And the subject of the khutbah today really is, you know, why bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? And if we don't understand the issue properly, as a matter of faith, then sometimes we say things to other people who are suffering from bad things, and we end up saying things that can really mess them up. Like for instance, just recently I was with some, you know, distant family, and we were talking, and we were talking about our late grandmother. And she passed away, rahimahullah. And you know, she had some difficulty before she passed away, and one of the cousins in the family somewhere thinks, you know, this, she had these difficulties because when she was younger she used to be really mean to some other aunt or somebody, and that's why Allah put her through this at the end of her life. You know? And they just say these things. They just say them. But actually these things are very hurtful to say, first of all. And to speak about the fact that Allah is punishing someone, especially someone who's passed away. But actually I came to realize that in our conversations among each other, we say these kinds of things to each other all the time. You know why this is happening to you? Because Allah is very angry with you. And actually I've even seen sometimes parents use this against their children. You know why you fell down the stairs? Because yesterday I told you to finish your breakfast, you didn't finish, this Allah is punishing you. This is why bad things happen to you, because you didn't listen to me. Husbands and wives use this against each other. They'll use it against each other. And these are matters of iman. So we have to really properly understand. Now, when I say bad things, I'm not just talking about small little things. Right? I'm talking about small things, but I'm also talking about big things. And I'm not just talking about things that happen to us as individuals. Because as individuals, ma'azallah, somebody may have been in a car accident, somebody may have been diagnosed with a difficult disease, somebody may have had to go for surgery or something, somebody may have lost a family member, or somebody ended up in the hospital or something, or somebody lost a job and their financial difficulty, or they lost their house because, you know, it went in foreclosure or something like that. But there are also, you know, problems and calamities at the level of communities and towns. A flood comes and hits a city, you know, and the entire city is devastated, or an earthquake comes and hundreds of thousands of people are devastated, or war breaks out between nations, or civil war breaks out, and what used to be a peaceful neighborhood is now under fire, is completely burnt to the ground, you know. You wouldn't recognize the place from the day before and the day after. So these things are at the level of the individual on a daily basis, and also at a higher level. Now, I want to start at the individual level, and probably in this khutbah we'll only really get to talk about the individual level. And that's important because even in casual conversation, not just about others, I've even heard Muslims, with my own ears, we'll be driving, or you know, we'll get late for work or something, you know, Allah is just in a bad mood with me today. Allah is putting me through some you know, I don't know what I've done and Allah is just angry at me. And people say, talk like this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you didn't get up early enough, you took the wrong highway, you didn't listen to the news report about there's an accident on this highway, and now you get to blame Allah azza wa jal for what's happening to you. So now in this regard, first of all, it's a complex issue. Second of all, there are tons of ayat, not one or two ayat, there are literally dozens of ayat on the concept of al-musibah. Al-musibah, and I'll describe what that is. I think Urdu speakers here assume they know what it means. Musibah is like a calamity or a terrible thing that happens. وفي العربية المعاصرة أيضا نستعملها في هذه المعاني. We use the word in the similar meaning in Arabic. يعني هذه مصيبة, this is a big disaster. This is a calamity. But in Old Arabic actually, let's start with the definition of this word. Musibah comes from the Arabic verb asaba. And asaba is to hit a target. When you hit the target perfectly, then that hitting of the target and hitting exactly where it was supposed to hit is called sawab, which is why another word for correct in Arabic is sawab, sahih, right? So hitting the correct target is the act of isaba. Now the word musiba is something that hits you and hit you exactly where it was supposed to hit you. So the first thing we learn from Allah Azza wa Jal using this term to describe what happens to us, it's a karitha, it's a haditha, it is a waqi'ah, it is something bad that happened, something terrible that happened, su' happened. Allah doesn't use those terms. Most of the time He uses the term al-musibah. Why? Because Allah is describing that as far as His qadr is concerned, as far as His planning is concerned, this was like an arrow that was shot, and it was supposed to hit you exactly when and where and how deep and how badly, it was all decided. It is perfect hit. Perfect hit. Then the ta marbuta also at the end of this word. We don't say musib, we say musiba. By adding a ta marbuta, it adds the concept of al-hadath, meaning every single issue, every single thing. You know how you think, well, first thing that happened was my transmission went bad. Then the next thing that happened as a result was I was late to the meeting. Then the next thing as a result of being late to the meeting, I lost my job. Then as a result, I got divorced. Then as a result, then as a result, then as a result. There was a brother I met not too long ago who had some issue with his passport, and as a result of his issue, he lost his passport. As a result of that, he lost his job. And as a result of that, he got into arguments with his wife, and he blames the passport company, or the people that were applied for his visa. They cost me my marriage, they cost me my job, they cost me everything. So they tie all of these strings together, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. All of it is because of this one thing. And we do this too. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling each and every difficulty, each and every difficulty individual. They are not a result of each other, they are a result of Allah's allowance. Allah Azza wa Jalla allows every single one of those events to happen. There are people who go through exactly the same situation as you, but the same things don't happen. That chain of events doesn't happen. Allah decrees something else for them. So that's the first thing to note about the word musibah. It is specific, it is targeted to you. The two ayat, of the dozens of ayat, the two ayat that should never ever forget about the word musibah. Allah Azza wa Jal first of all says, in these ayat that I recited to you in Baqarah, He says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Congratulate the people who have sabr. What strange language Allah Azza wa Jal uses. When you and I have a difficulty, we're supposed to have sabr. You don't have sabr when you're happy. You're supposed to have sabr when you're upset. When something is wrong, when something goes badly, you were supposed to graduate, it got delayed, you didn't pass a class, you're supposed to have a little bit of sabr. You got sick, you're supposed to have sabr. Some bad thing happened and you're supposed to have sabr. Now you tell me, you and I, when we speak to each other and somebody is in a situation when they're supposed to have sabr, like you're in a situation or I'm in a situation where the advice is I should have sabr. You don't go to that person and say congratulations. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Akhi, I feel terrible about what happened. I pray Allah gives you sabr. You don't smile at them, you don't congratulate them. Now when do you congratulate someone? You congratulate someone when there's a happy occasion, when things went according to plan, you applied for the job and the job came through and you got the job, you applied for a raise and you got a raise, you were looking to get married and the thing is settled. When things work out, then you congratulate each other. Look at the language of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Congratulate the people who have sabr. SubhanAllah. Why? Because of the belief. For a believer, the attitude is entirely different. Maybe the whole ordeal, the entire trouble you are going through, the goal of it all was one thing. So you could have sabr. Because if you can have sabr, you are worthy of congratulations. We think the goal was this thing you were going to get in dunya. Maybe I thought the goal was to get the job. Maybe I thought the goal was to make the sale. But maybe to Allah, the real goal is you were going to learn sabr. That's a bigger goal than anything else. Subhanallah. And if you got that goal, you should be congratulated. So we have goals in our head that we think we want to accomplish. We have things in our heart we want to accomplish. And Allah says there is something much more valuable in your heart. If you accomplish that, you don't even realize what it's worth. And I will tell you what it's worth. It's worth congratulations. And then, right after this congratulations, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Who should you congratulate? These patient people, who whenever a specific target, calamity, difficulty hits them, the first thing that comes out of their mouth, قَالُوا, not even فَقَالُوا, not even ثُمَّ قَالُوا. No. Not then they say. If this happens, or when this happens, then they say. There's a when and there's a then. There's not even time for a then in the ayah. There's not even a فَقَالُوا. It's not there. Why not? Because it's supposed to be an immediate response. You know how you have in physics, or even in medicine, in biology, you're supposed to have action and reaction, right? And for a doctor that checks your physical reactions, they'll tap your knee and the leg kicks up a little bit, right? They check for these reflexes. This ayah is teaching us that when difficulty comes to you, and when difficulty comes to me, there is supposed to be a reflex. And in a reflex, you don't delay, it just happens. It just comes out. And what comes out? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. No doubt about it, we belong to Allah. No doubt about it, we belong to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. No doubt about it, we are only going to be returned to Him. Meaning we are going to be returned to our owner. Why is this statement important when something difficult happens? You have to think about the hikmah of why when the difficult thing comes, why do we say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When you hear about some bad news on the phone, why is it the first time? The moment you say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, first of all, understand that if you do that, there's a real gift in it for you. In the Qur'an, there's a gift in it for you. First, I want to share this gift with you. You know what that gift is? In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, in the ayah before, when I told you He commanded to congratulate the believers, الْأَمْرِ فِي الْمُفْرَدِ لَا وَبَشِّرُوا الصَّابِرِينَ قَالْ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْمُفْرَدِ. It's singular. Congratulate the ones who have sabr. And that congratulations is singular. When Allah commands in the singular, it is actually a direct amr, direct command to Nabiullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his mouth is supposed to congratulate those who have sabr. And Allah Azza wa Jal now, and by the way, after this ayah, whoever says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, they, may Allah make us of them, when we are standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah, maybe we be among them who the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam congratulates. Because this ayah is about the Rasul congratulating anybody who does this, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we want to earn his congratulations. You know, when your family says congratulations to you, it means one thing. When the principal of the school congratulates you, it's something else. When the dean of the school congratulates you at the inaugural ceremony, it's something else. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will congratulate as-sabirin, and Allah has commanded him to do so, then we want to be from these people. That's the gift in this ayah. Now let's go back to Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let's give some examples. I know some of your problems may be much bigger than what I can give in my limited imagination. So you have to think about yourself as I give these examples. So I'm driving and I just got a new car, I'm driving and I had some car trouble and it just stalled and it's pulled over to the side. Now I'm angry, I paid good money for this car. How could this happen? I'm missing so much work. Stuck here in the middle of the heat, the heater's not, you know, the AC's not even working and it's sunny and you know, all of this stuff. I'm thinking all of this stuff. First thing I think to myself, as a believer, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Why? Because I remind myself, I'm angry at this car because I own it. I own it. I am the owner. But I'm reminding myself, actually, I own nothing. I myself am owned. Allah owns me. I no doubt belong to Allah. How can I complain about anything? Because I'm not an owner of anything. You see, people get mad when they're entitled. When it was your turn, you deserved it. When it was your phone, your phone's not working, your car's not working, the lights aren't turning on. When you deserve something, then you get angry when you don't get it. But in the ayah, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, you first acknowledge, I deserve nothing. I belong to Allah. Allah deserves, I don't deserve. It puts things at ease. Everything you get in this life is then a gift. It's not something you earned, it's a gift. So when you don't have it, then you realize, well, it wasn't mine anyway. It wasn't mine anyway. We take our hands for granted, we take our eyes for granted, we take our nose for granted, we take our tongue for granted. The fact that I'm standing here speaking before you, I take the fact that I can speak to you for granted. But this tongue, it doesn't belong to me. I didn't pay for it. It belongs to Allah. So when it starts stuttering, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. And what? And the second part of this problem, how Allah gives solutions in our faith, the wisdom of the statements Allah gave us when difficulty comes. The second statement is, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. No doubt about it, to Him alone we're going to be returning. Why is that important? Because whatever problem you're having right now isn't permanent. Whatever problem you're having isn't permanent. Whether it's money problems, or health problems, or family problems, or it's emotional problems or physical problems, it doesn't matter. None of them are permanent. You know why? Because you and I are not permanent. Even you and I aren't permanent. How can our problems be permanent? We have to be returned to Allah ourselves. This problem is nothing. Forget this problem. I will leave. Not only will this problem not be around, I won't be around. I will be returned back to Allah. Things are put in perspective. Putting things in perspective makes you worry about what really matters. When you don't put things in perspective, you can focus on the wrong thing. My teacher used to always give the example, if you're standing in a building, and the building is on fire, and you're in that building, and you're debating which color should we paint this wall. I think blue goes better with the gray. Guy, the building's on fire, you need some water first, take the fire out, get out of the building. There are priorities, you understand? When you understand the bigger picture, there's a larger problem, and the larger problem is we haven't acknowledged that we belong to Allah. Maybe sometimes you and I go through difficulty just so Allah can put it back in your heart that you and I belong to Allah. Maybe you and I are going through some challenges just so Allah would give us the gift that we would be able to not just say with our tongue, but say with our heart, إِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That's a gift in and of itself. And that is, if we can internalize that, that makes sabr easy. And if you and I can have sabr, اللهم اجعلنا من الصابرين. If we can have sabr, then the congratulations of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for us. In the few minutes that I have left with you, I wanted to address. So this was at least one of the two ayat that I wanted to talk to you about our attitude towards the musibah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But in these last few minutes, I want to highlight something else. About musibah, about calamity and about difficulty, about challenges that happen in life. And that is, in the Qur'an, there are two kinds of ayat. In one set of ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whatever happens to you, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا فِي سُورَةِ الْحَدِيدِ. There is not a single calamity that ever happens anywhere to anyone. There isn't one in existence. Rather, even on the earth or in the sky, it doesn't matter where it happens, it is already recorded in a book that we've decreed. Meaning it's from the qadr of Allah, it was supposed to happen. You don't get to say about somebody who died at a young age, oh, he had his whole life ahead of him. He didn't. There's no such thing. It was done, it was decreed. This is how long his journey was on this earth. My journey on this earth is decreed. Yours is decreed. When you go to the graveyard, you find some people lived, or they were born 1901, died 2013. And you go to the graveyard, you find somebody born 2013, died 2013. You find those graves too. You know? And this is decreed by Allah. It is decided how long each of us will stay on this earth. It is decided. You don't get to say, oh, if he was still alive today. No. It's decreed. It's laid down. The other thing Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No difficulty, no calamity, no target will strike you except by Allah's permission. By Allah's permission. And look at the people of Iman. They say such a beautiful thing. قُلْ لَن يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَمْ يَقُولُ عَلَيْنَا. It's incredible. The believers are told, no difficulty will hit us except for what Allah has written for us. They could have said what Allah has written against us. Because when you talk about difficulty, you think in the terms of against. This difficulty is hitting against me. The ayah says, مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا for us. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. SubhanAllah. Allah Azza wa Jalla teaches the believers that even when difficulties come, it is written not against us, but it is written for us. In the ayah, it is written for us. And that is the attitude of a believer in regards to difficulty even. It is for him. But now finally, there are ayat in the Qur'an. Not one, several. In which whatever happens to you, from فَأَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتْ مَا عَمِلُوا, what hit them was the evil of what they did. فَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever you did, whatever challenge hit you, whatever difficulty hit you, it is because of what you did. Allah says, it's your fault. When difficulty happened to you, in some ayat Allah says, it's not just because of Allah. Allah decided, it's because of you. It's your fault. And He's forgiving Allah. Now how do we reconcile those two? Is it because of Allah? Or is it because it's your fault? First thing of advice here. Number one, Allah never says, قُلْ. قُلْ. Say it's your fault. Except in one place in Ali Imran, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. In other words, we are not supposed to say to someone, this is happening to you because it's your fault. You know why you got diagnosed with cancer? Because you don't pray 5 times a day. That's why you have cancer. You don't get to say that. You don't get to say that. And on the other hand, in the battle of Uhud, the Rasul was told, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell them it's your fault. When they say, how come this happened? When the believers say, how come this happened? Tell them this is because of you. In other words, in this specific case of Uhud, what happened? The believers were winning. They were winning. And they were at an advantageous position, and the enemy was running. Then some of the archers left their position. And when they left their position, the tide of battle turned, everything happened. And now you don't get to blame Allah, you left a strategic position. You have to take responsibility for your actions. What we are learning in that ayah is you don't get to put everything on Allah. You were driving over the speed limit, you got in a car accident, and then you say, Allah decreed that I should, you know, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No. You were speeding. You were driving like a maniac. This is مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. This is because of what you did. You put, you know, you're supposed to get an oil change, you put like, you know, ghee inside your car or something. And your car is not running, and then you say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What can we do? فَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ. No. This is هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. You have to take responsibility. You can't just put everything on Allah. You're not applying for a job. You're sitting at home all day. No job is coming to you. Allah is not sending an angel with an offer letter to your house. And you're like, Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He decides, you know, until then, you know, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. No. There's this balance in the Qur'an. When things happen to you that are out of your control, they are from Allah. A flood is out of your control. Somebody else's car hit you, that's out of your control. You got diagnosed with a genetic disorder, some kind of disease, that was out of your control. But if that same disease came to you because you're smoking 4 packs a day, and if you're, you know, your doctor keeps telling you you're heading towards diabetes, and you put a little bit of tea in your sugar, you know, you're that kind of guy, then you don't get to blame Allah. This is min indi anfusikum. The Qur'an is such a balanced approach to this problem. The believer has to understand how to take responsibility. But in either of those cases, whatever came to you, unless it is death, it is a gift from Allah so you can learn your lesson and move on and do better. You know, there are people who lose their job. And there's only 2 kinds of people who lose their job. Either they blame themselves or they blame Allah. Right? And so sometimes it's because of economic cuts or whatever. But if you're coming to work late every single day, you're not finishing your work, you're behind in communications, there are 30 emails every day, you don't answer them, and then you get fired, don't blame Allah. You're supposed to get fired. And when you get fired, that is a gift from Allah, because the next time you do get a job, you're not going to make the same mistakes. You learn from it. Sometimes these difficulties, they make us better human beings. They make us better believers. They make us stronger as people. They make us more responsible. So I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla, first and foremost, just as a recap of everything in these 2 minutes, First of all, the first thing when difficulty happens, train your tongue, train your heart. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's number one. Number two, don't say to other people that something is happening to them because of Allah. Don't say this to people. Do not say this to people. If you want to say that to people, before you think of anyone else, think about yourself. You don't get to decide something happened from the ghaib, something happened from Allah, and you don't get to decide why did Allah do this, that He didn't offer His explanation to you. You don't have that license. And when it comes to ourselves, we have to make the distinction between things that are out of our hands, you can't control them, then we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And the things that are within our control, we have to take our own responsibility. We have to acknowledge the fact that we were the ones who messed up. We were the ones who should have done better. This is as a result of our own misbehavior. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us responsible believers, especially in the things we say. May Allah Azza wa Jal include us among those who are congratulated by His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as as-sabirin. May Allah make us a people of inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un from our tongue and from our heart whenever a calamity occurs. May Allah Azza wa Jal make our hearts strong and make us of those who can navigate the tests of this life. In every kind of test that comes our way, may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who pass all of these tests and are meeting with Him with light in our chests and light coming out of our right hands on the Day of Judgment. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.